But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. He said, patience, oh. How many of you could use some upgrading in that area called patience? Raise your hand. Yeah. I say, are you patient? Yes, I'm patient. Stop asking me that question. But we say, but it's so hard. But one of the reasons it's hard is because we're trying to do it ourselves.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope. You know, we all need to upgrade from time to time. We upgrade our computers, our software, our cell phones. But how often do we take time to download the latest upgrades in our spiritual life? Well, today Pastor Wayne will show us the importance of trading in some old attitudes and developing some new perspectives so we can begin to see life in high def as it was meant to be seen. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Upgrading Our Perspectives.
Would you take out your notes with me? And we're going to start off from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, where it speaks about excelling still more. Let's read it with our great morning voices. Are you ready?
Go.
Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus, that as you receive from us instruction as how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still. Would you circle those words? What are they? Excel still more. You see, God is not saying, I'm going to push you into more performance. Do more. Give more. Be more. No, he's just saying part of your DNA of who you are as a living entity is that you will be excelling. There's something of a mechanism inside of us that prompts us to better ourselves, not worsen ourselves, not move into mediocrity, not in something that would get us going in reverse into entropy, but something that wants to improve, and the Holy Spirit's moving us that way because we're not there yet. We've got a long way to go. Any of you perfect yet? Anybody yet? No. So we got a long way to go. And so God is saying that's just a part of our lives. And we're going to be working on some things on the inside to grow us deeper and also growing us stronger. It's like a rudder on the inside that we want to make sure that we recalibrate to make sure that our lives are being steered correctly. And it's going to require some maintenance to check on it, to see how it's doing. Because of just by reason of use, things get corroded. Just like any machine or car. It's not by reason of abuse, it's just by reason of use. Things wear out and we need to maintain it. And anything living like a human being, much more even so. Just yesterday, I was looking out my front window, and Friday nights, there's a sailboat regatta out there in front of the Ilikai, and beautiful sailboats are doing some racing, and I noticed one of these maybe $300,000, $200,000 sailboats was up aground on the rocks, in fact, right where we'll be doing water baptism, may still be there today, I don't know, but this beautiful thing, I guess, had broken its keel and maybe missed the mark coming in on the beacons and hit some of the rocks and broke the keel off, and then it was on the rocks, and I saw that, and maybe parties, you know, started a little sooner than they should have, and so they veered off, drifted off. But a saying came to my mind just as soon as I saw it. There's a saying that says, you'll be ruled by the rudder or you'll be ruled by the rocks. And I thought, you know, that's like us, because we can drift, and if we don't intentionally concentrate, we will drift and we'll be ruled by the rocks. This is a season of upgrades. And we're going to take a look at some of the things that we can upgrade in today. First of all, our mind or our perspective, but starting with our rudders on the inside. You know, everything in life, if you look at it in business terms, requires upgrades. If you're a teacher, you go to continuing education classes. If you're a salesman or a technician, you'll go through seminars to upgrade your knowledge because of new product, new design, new systems coming up. It's mandatory in business that you intentionally upgrade, but not so in life. You think about it. When was the last time we said, we need to intentionally upgrade this season my attitude? And you work on your attitude. We don't. I need to upgrade my faith or my devotional life or my people skills or relationships. We seldom take a look at our lives and intentionally for this next 2 months, I'm going to upgrade my marriage or upgrade my whatever. And usually we don't upgrade until we're up on the rocks. And then we think, oh, we better work on the sailboat. Well, it's too late. So we're going to talk about upgrading our lives. I think one of the more prolific examples of updating and upgrading is in computers. There's always updating of software all the time. In fact, I remember in the 90s, I was typing in the library with a computer. My friend was next to me, and he was making his thing do all kinds of stuff. I mean, it was doing somersaults and flips, and his Microsoft Word was doing all of this stuff. And I'm thinking, how come mine doesn't do that? And mine was just wasn't doing it. And I stopped and I said, hey, how come yours does all that stuff and mine doesn't do anything? He said, oh, it should. Same program, yeah. Then he stopped and he said, when was the last time you upgraded your program? I said, what's that? And he said, ah, so you have not upgraded it for a while. I said, I don't even know what that is. He says, ah, so if you haven't upgraded it and if you haven't updated it, then you're probably running on an old version. And sure enough, I was about 2 years behind. I thought, that's it. It's sort of like when you don't upgrade, it's like everybody's advancing to the seventh grade and you're still in the sixth. You know, you failed, you flunked, you got to redo the sixth grade again. And people that are upgrading are going into the seventh and you're again doing the sixth grade thing. Reminds me of the story of this Portuguese kid. He came home and he said, hey, Ma, we had a contest in the sixth grade, and I have the biggest nose in the class. They gave me one award for that. Oh, Junior, she said, I'm so proud of you, and your nose, that is just wonderful. He said, Ma, you think I won the contest for the biggest nose because I'm Portuguese? She said, no, honey, it's because you're 19 years old. Hey, by the way, don't write me letters about telling Portuguese jokes and stuff. You can send me jokes. But the other day I got this letter. This guy says, hey, do not be telling Portuguese jokes. I'm Portuguese and I resent that. I wrote him back, said, oh, so for you it's not a joke, it's reality. I said, it's just a joke. Stop it. It's all hypersensitive. So if I don't use Portuguese, what am I going to do? Tell blonde jokes? Then the blondes are going to write me letters. Not good thing. No, my wife won't like that. So if I tell paque, jokes, paques will email me. They don't want to write because it costs a stamp. And so, so what I'm going to do? Say person A said to person B, then A people and B people are going to write me letters. This guy said, why don't you tell Samoan jokes? Do I look stupid? Those guys are too sensitive anyway. Them and the Hawaiians, they just get so sensitive. So the only people mature and balanced enough to appreciate good humor are Japanese and Portuguese people. So that's why I tell those jokes. Where were we? Let's see. Oh yeah, passing the sixth grade. That's it, passing the sixth grade. But you know what happens sometimes is we start growing like the first 6 years as Christians and we get to like year six and then we stop growing for some reason. And we just kind of relearn again and again and more and more. And pretty soon we learn and know about everything, but we don't do any of that. But we just kind of redo the first 6 years again and again. And you know one of the symptoms where we stop growing is this. When we no longer want to learn or grow anymore, we stop learning and we start concluding. You know what that is? It's like, okay, well, he shouldn't do that. Well, she shouldn't do this. Well, I wouldn't do that. That's wrong. That's not good. We don't need to be doing that. What's he doing that for? What did he say? I can't believe that church. It's like all of a sudden we just start concluding. We stop learning. We stop trying to understand anymore. In the first 6 years, we're trying to understand and get context and try to use wisdom. But after about 6 years, say, what? Look at him. What? I owe you money. And it just becomes like, what? And all of a sudden we start concluding and we've stopped learning. And God wants us to continue to learn, to continue to grow. There's a group of Bedouin people called the Tartar people, not tartar sauce, but Tartar people. And these people move according to the movement of their animals, sort of like the American Indians, wherever the bison or buffalo went, they would pick up and move. Well, these would have sheep and goats, and when they would deplete a pasture land that was near them, they would search for more pasture land, so they would follow the pasture lands or the water source. And so for their own survival, they had to move. And when people came in that they didn't like, they would want to curse them or cuss at them. Then this was their worst curse. Their worst curse was this. They'd look at them and say, "May you stay in one place the rest of your life." And we think, well, that's dumb. But you see, in their culture, it was a curse. May you stay in one place the rest of your life. And maybe to us as people, that is a curse. That you never move from where you are. We keep going to church, we keep doing this and that, but we stay in one place the rest of our life. The Bible talks about that in Ecclesiastes 4:13. Let's read what it says and you'll see. Go. "A poor yet wise lad is better than an old and foolish king who no longer knows how to receive instruction." Yeah, it's better for you to be a poor and a kid, but you're still growing in wisdom, than an old king that has stopped growing. You've got to keep improving. And if you think about it, growth is achieved by intentionally upgrading your life in specific ways and areas. It was right after World War II where he got his notoriety. He was born in the early 1900s, died in 1993, and I kind of studied off of this man for a while. His name was Dr. W. Edwards Deming. He was kind of the guru of quality control in the United States for many years. Directly after World War II, because of the depletion of the economy of Japan, MacArthur sent him in to try and bring the quality of the economy of Japan up. He put together 14 principles of business that, if followed, it would bring a greater chance for success. He brought those into Japan and they bought into it hook, line, and sinker. Especially one of those 14 principles, number 5, and I want to read that to you. And it says this, check this out, number 5. He writes, "Improve every process." And I read, "Improve constantly and forever," he says, "every process that you're a part of. Search continually for problems in order to improve every activity. Institute innovation and constant improvement of product, service, and process." Constant improvement. And Japan bought into that so much that they actually coined a new word for constantly improving, and it's the Japanese word kaizen. Kaizen means to improve, not to achieve a certain notoriety and then sit back on your laurels and enjoy it. But regardless of where you are in life, make it a part of your DNA to improve something about your process and your product. So Japanese businessmen would start improving something about their packaging, the color of their packaging, the ink, the way it's packaged. Now, if you go there and buy something in one of the stores, they don't just wrap it in paper. You watch how they wrap it. It is one of the most beautiful origami kind of wrapping. And then when you get it home, you don't want to open it because it's so well done. And you'll see some of that coming over here and some of the ways we fold napkins in restaurants and stuff. But Japan began that. In little ways, they would improve one thing at a time. The machining of the pistons of the Honda or Toyota, they would take one just centimeter difference so that it will align a little bit more accurately with the piston thrust. And then the combustion and the mixture and then the size and the weight of the engines and the balance of the whole car. They would work on it, and this is the high promise that W. Edward Deming said or gave to Japan. He said this, "If you will follow these principles in 10 years, you will turn your economy around. And within 30 years, you'll be a world power economically." Japanese said, "Wait a minute, we have no natural resources in Japan. We don't have metal or oil or anything like that, natural gas." He said, "If you'll do this, you will turn your economy around in 10 years and you'll be a world power in 30. Well, they said, all right. And they took Kaizen and they went with it. And they began to improve everything. And sure enough, within 10 years, their economy had turned around. And within 30 years, they had become a world power economically. And still is today. By what? By constantly improving and upgrading. Think about it. They take our cars. They take it to Japan and they improve it. And they sell it back to us at 3 times the price. And we buy it. I mean, for example, be honest. How many of you, with a raise of hands, drive some Japanese car? Raise your hand right now. Go. Yeah, look around. Yeah, it's like 80, 90%. Shame on you. Nah, just joking. I drive one too. I have a Honda. But we all do that. Yeah, because we say they're superior cars. In fact, Toyota now is rivaling GM and Ford as the top-selling car in the United States. You take a look at that and you think, how do they do that? Well, they just take our cameras and they improve them and sell them back to us. And we'd rather buy theirs. They take our computers and they improve them and sell them back to us. They do that with all kinds of stuff. All kinds of machinery. You look at some of the largest construction machineries, earth movers, etc. They're all Japanese. Mitsubishi, Kubota, and different ones like that. They're all from Japan. Because they just take it and improve it. Now, watch this. If they can do that for the economy, and it works, how much more should we with our lives in a way to honor our Creator? Now, it's not saying you've got to improve overnight. It's saying just work it into your DNA of improving. I mean, it's like if you only improve 1% a day, think about it. 1% a day, after a year, you will have improved your life, your marriage, your relationships, your people skills, your attitude over 300%. If you just work it into your DNA, improve something. I mean, the way you stand, the way you sit, the way you shake somebody's hand, the way you look in their eye when you talk to them, rather at their nostrils, the way that you are more laughable, you're just quicker to laugh and quicker to smile. I mean, anything, something little every day. Use deodorant, comb your hair, tie your shoes, you know? Brush your teeth once a week. Anything just to upgrade. And when you do, after a year, you will be absolutely surprised. Not only things of adding on to your life, but the depth that'll come into your life. So as we talk about upgrades, let's begin there. How do you start with some depth in your life? How do you begin? Where do you begin upgrading? Here it is. I'm going to give you just 2 points. And the first is this. If you're going to upgrade your life, would you write down a number one? It will require patience. That's right. See, we live in a world where everything needs to be instant. Just give me a pill. Just give me this, you know. I need to lose 50, 80 pounds. Just give me a pill. I just want overnight, you know. Liposuction, tummy tuck, whatever. Just give me that. You got programs now on television because we are addicted to now. But it doesn't work as good as just being patient and 1% a day. And then you turn around and you realize, wow. What an exceptional change. Not only the change will you receive, here it is, but the disciplines that came along with it. In an instant society, you change your circumstance, but you never change your character. You change your surroundings, but you never change your inwards. And when you're going to upgrade and you want to change the whole thing, you've got to have some patience on the inside. Now, patience is not just some philosophy where we just kind of wrinkle our foreheads and get more disciplined in our psyche. No, it's actually a fruit of the Spirit. In other words, that's what the Spirit of God feels is necessary in our life in order to have the Spirit of God moving through us. A fruit of the Spirit means the Spirit is producing the fruit. So this is what He's already wanting to do inside of me. Just cooperate because I'm not producing it. He is. And that's what it says in Galatians 5. Let's read it. Go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. He said, patience. Oh. How many of you could use some upgrading in that area called patience? Raise your hand. Yeah. Yes. I say, are you patient? Yes, I'm patient. Stop asking me that question. Yeah, but it says love, joy, peace, patience. Patience. That's so hard. No, no. It should be love, joy, peace, patience. But we say, but it's so hard. No, 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 no. It shouldn't be. But one of the reasons it's hard is because we're trying to do it ourselves. But let me tell you why patience is so important, what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do in you. The reason it's so important for this thing called patience is, here it is, and it's not written in your notes, but you can write it in. Patience builds roots to your soul. It builds roots to your soul. That's the roots of your soul. See, some of our souls are way too flighty. So when something goes bad, that's it, I'm out of here. Something doesn't work well, okay, I'm finished. And we're just, just real flighty. Well, I don't like it. First time someone pushes back on you. Okay, well, this is not where I'm supposed to be. So, well, wait a minute. You need some roots onto your soul. If you're going to upgrade your life, you better get some roots so that you're stalwart. And you will not bear fruit until the roots take. Then you'll start to bear fruit. So the first thing we're going to do is work on some rudders on the inside and build some roots to our soul, but you're going to require patience, just patience, just hang on. Yeah, but you don't know how long I've been waiting on my husband. I'm out of patience. No, it's not waiting on people. Let's read this next one and you'll see an important distinction. Would you read it with me? Go. But they that wait upon the Lord, stop there. They that wait upon the who? Yeah, not your husband. If you wait upon your husband, he will zap your strength, not renew it. If you're waiting upon your wife, she will zap your strength. She won't renew it. If you're waiting on your kids to get their act together, they will steal your strength. But the Bible says, he who waits upon the Lord. Yeah, you see, when my kids are going a little bazongers, my role is to pray for them, to counsel them, to encourage them, to invite them, but I can't change their heart as much as Jesus can. And so, you know what? I have to wait on the Lord. Lord, I know you're doing something in them. I will do my part. I'll stay out of your way. I'll cooperate with you. But once I get frustrated because they're not responding to me, I'm waiting on the wrong person. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Patience is waiting on God because there's a reason for patience. It builds the roots of your soul. Otherwise, in times of drought, we'll flee because we're too flighty. His name was A.B. Campbell. He was a farmer. In the middle of many orchards, he had his orange orchard. And one year, an extreme drought took place, and all the surrounding orchards were brown, and the fruit was withered, except for A.B. Campbell's orchard. It was green and fruitful. The other farmers came and said, where are you getting the water? He says, we don't have any water. It's a drought. Well, they said, how come your trees are green and fruiting while ours is brown and withering? He said, you want to know the secret? Yes. He said, the secret is when my trees were saplings or young, I often withheld water from them. And so the saplings had to dig their root system far deeper than other surrounding trees. My trees can go for 2 more weeks without water, he said. And while yours are browning and withering, mine are drinking water from a much deeper source. Isn't that good? If we don't have patience when the droughts come in life, you'll dry up far too quickly. But if you take the time to have patience, to maintain, pull maintenance on certain things, just patience, just let's do some things to make sure that the rudders are working, etc., then you'll be building some deep roots. And when the drought comes, you'll be drinking water from a much deeper source. Those are the people that have roots to their souls. It's going to require patience because, you know why? Because much of the upgrades in our lives come with just pulling maintenance. You see, part of upgrading a machinery is not adding on or buying a new part for the machine. It's recalibrating the machine. Just by recalibrating it, checking its calibration and recalibrating, you've updated it. You've recalibrated, you've upgraded it. And some of the things in our life is we just got to pull maintenance, not add a new bride or husband. It's maintaining the ones we have. It's not like firing our kids and getting new ones. It's just maintaining, pulling maintenance. I mean, when was the last time we just intentionally said, hey, I'm going to pull maintenance on my family? Come, everybody come around. We're going to have a powwow. I'm just going to pull maintenance. How are you doing? Where are you at? How's your devotions? And you know what? I achieve a great amount of growth. And as I recalibrate, pull maintenance.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Upgrading Our Perspectives by Pastor Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.